It is with great sadness that we have learned of the passing of a friend, Brian Ford. This episode of Nutty Bites is dedicated to his memory. All donations for the month of February have already been sent to his family to help in these trying times. We wish condolences, support, and love to his wife, Val Ford. You can find more about her by going to @VG_Ford. Brian was a geek through and through, and it's rather fitting that this episode is in dedication to him, for he was used to being a fan of things that were unpopular. He was a lifelong Skadian, a huge fan of Babylon 5 and other very geeky things, and he was a great guy, always hospitable, and gave really good hugs. So we miss you, Brian.
The Nutty Bites podcast is geek certified by the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast. Hey, I've got taste.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another episode of Nutty Bites for you. And today we're talking about...
What are we talking about? Oh, this is my choice.
Yeah.
Right. So we did a very special Nutty Bites After Dark where I got to be in charge of things and mucked it up royally.
Mm-hmm.
In the Nutty Bites After Dark that went only to our patrons.
Only to the patrons.
Only to the patrons. We discussed... what was it again? Oh, things that you're told to like, but don't. And our biggest patrons could not be there. That's our friends at the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. And we really miss their presence. I love them both dearly. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Jason.
Hey, guys.
And so they have joined us. And what are we talking about today? You still haven't told us.
No, I know. So that one was things that you're told to like, but don't. So today's very special version will be that upside down. What we're going to discuss is things that you like in nerd culture that nobody else seems to. The things that you find yourself in a fandom of one.
So is this the topic I've been edging for this entire time? I feel like I've wasted my time.
Sure, why not? I don't know. Have you been edging for this?
Yes, I've been practicing my tantricness.
Yes, with really, really wrong video games.
Speaking of really wrong video games, Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive Extreme Volleyball 3, yes.
mean AKA the Boob Jiggle Simulator?
Okay, absolutely.
So moving on to our topic at hand, before we begin this, I do want to thank the patrons.
I also want to thank the patrons. You guys are awesome. Except Jason, I hate everything about him.
Well, hey.
Guy who pushed it over the edge to get 2 episodes a month. Woo! Woo!
All about edging.
Hashtag edging.
This is so wrong.
I am on the wrong episode.
It's not cursing, Benny. You told me not to curse.
It's not cursing, but I think it might get edited out. We'll see.
There's the 7 dirty words I can't say on podcasts. Edging ain't one of them.
That's true. So, wow. All right. So today we are going to be thanking Jason. Thank you so much for your patronage. Beth?
Really? Was I that? Was I on the list?
Yeah. Beth? Aaron Jackson, our QA guy, Aurora Lee, Susan, Melissa, Susanna, Frank, Kinsey, Ian, Harold, and Jen. Hi, Jen. Thank you, Jen. Patrick, Shane, Richard, or Rich as we all know him, Dagny, Mike, Ken, and Lynette. Thank you, all of you, for helping support Nutty Bites and keeping us doing stupid shows like this.
I love you guys.
Which I hope you love as much as we do.
Oh, I also need to thank our in-person patron, the guy who keeps sliding money across my desk.
The guy who slid money twice to you.
Hi, Nick.
You know, only one of those came back to me, Nick, just so you know.
The other one I spent on garbage.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The McDonald's? Patreon money just keeps tech and rye.
No, it doesn't.
In order to keep me and Rye patrons, we have another reward goal where you get tipsy tech every episode.
The money has been going to server costs, which is fantastic because they upped my fees last year. And I was able to, in less than a year, pay off the server fees. So that's good. So,
did
yay.
You have a server now?
I've always had a server.
You're much better at this whole technical side of podcasting than I am.
Anyway.
If we could have recorded all the calls I've made to Nettie going, I don't understand.
Nobody wants to hear those calls. So how do
tune in to Nutty Bites After Dark to listen to Jason panic in a technical sense.
So things that we are fans of that no one else is.
That you find yourself in a fandom of one. A
fandom of one. So we'll call this Nutty Bites Fandom of One?
Sure.
Okay. So why don't you start us off with an example and we'll tell you how wrong you are.
How wrong I am.
So does that mean if you're in a fandom of one, you're a rogue one?
Oh.
Shut up, Jason.
I'm in a fandom of one for puns.
I love puns. They're great.
Things that I like that nobody else seems to like. I am a huge fan of giant stompy robot video games, which to the current audience means that, oh, you want to play against other people in giant stompy robots, so you play Titanfall or Suck It, because that's all we get. But games like, I love the Armored Core franchise, which From Software has quit making because they've decided to make the hardest, most rage quit inducing game in the world instead, a little series called Dark Souls, which is just basically ammunition to force you to throw your controller at the TV. It is the most rage quit inducing series of games I have played in my life, and From would rather, hello kitty, would rather spend their time doing that than giving me another Armor Core, which I so desperately need.
Dude, by the way, don't hate on Titanfall 2. Titanfall 2 is really, 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 really good.
No, it's just the story mode. The problem I've got with those games, and same thing with the Call of Duties and the Battlefields, it's the...
Keep going.
I do not like having my gameplay experience dictated to me by a 14-year-old from some state I've never heard of. And example, like when I played, I was pretty serious into the first couple Call of Duties, and examples of the things that I would have to put up with, including guys that would take off their headsets, put it in front of their phones so that we had to listen to their music. Or one guy that just did this noise continuously for a 7-minute match. And when we yelled at him to shut up, he's like, you can't tell me what to do. I can do what I want.
Hey, I thought this was America. I thought this was America.
I thought this was America. Or just amazing, I don't know, clairvoyance, psychic news that these guys were willing to tell me, were able to tell me things about my mom that I didn't know. These guys are amazing and graphic. And I just, not my thing.
That's why I have definitely gotten, that's why, matter of fact, I had a person come into work today and we're looking for a multiplayer online game for their kid. And I suggested Overwatch because... All right. One thing that I have noticed about Blizzard and most of their communities outside of these super hardcore StarCraft 2 people, there's not very much toxicity in there. Like, there is still toxicity, but my God, is it so dumbed down compared to a lot of the other online communities. Like, especially since they make it so that, yeah, you can go online and play versus other people in Overwatch, but or you could just get with a bunch of people and just play against the computer and have a ball and play Reinhardt and hit things with a hammer and you love life. So yeah, check out Overwatch, man.
Better so community. Phantom of One. Who's got another one?
I'm gonna just go right here. And I know technically it's not a fandom of one, but I feel like it's a fandom of one.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever someone's like, so who likes anime? And like, you're the only dude in the room raising your hand. Because the first thing out of their mouth is, that's that tentacle stuff, right? And you just want to slap their neck.
Darn right it is.
Or when people will ask you, hey, I've been thinking about getting into anime. Can you suggest something that isn't cat girls and tentacles? And I literally had that happen to me like last week. And it was a person I've known for a very, very long time. Like, I'm talking about since nursery school known. Like, oh God.
So do you? So at this point, do you give them good recommendations, or do you just, this is La Blue Girl and this is Strike Witches, enjoy?
I was 2 seconds away from suggesting Orochika Doji's Overfiend. 2 seconds. Like, Tentacle Peni destroy a city in that movie. I was so tempted.
Like, how about being a fan of anime that doesn't revolve around, like, I don't know, a basketball team of nothing but pretty people, or one of those dramas?
Jason watches that.
Hey. Okay, look. Kuroko no Basket is really good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Even though the characters in this show are blatant homosexuals that ignore...
That's like the only shining good thing for it.
No. Actually, you know what? They actually finally succeeded in making one of those sports shows where all the characters are blatant homosexuals that are actually about a gay couple.
Yeah, Yuri on Ice.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. They actually kiss in that show.
Wow.
Yuri on Ice is really, really good.
And we know a huge fan of that show. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, Hugh.
I love you so much.
I know. I love Hugh, too.
Yeah.
It was a pun there.
Yep. So Shane's got a good fandom of one. Shane tells us that he loves Alien Resurrection.
Shane, I would like to let you know you are not alone, brother. That gorilla clear alien thing that gets sucked through that hole.
Oh yeah.
All about it.
You know, it's Joss Whedon's writing that then got train wrecked and rewritten until they took his name off the credits.
I was going to say, when you think about the fact that the writer doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's the little snippets that are left that make that movie good and make that movie what it is. Like when she's playing, when Ripley's playing basketball by herself, and
she made that shot, by the way.
Yeah, you know, she really made that shot in one take. But then Hellboy comes up to her and he's like, "Hey, yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, you must be so tough." And she just like sinks a 3-pointer over her shoulder without looking in one take.
So here's a question. Mm-hmm. I see obviously Tech refers to him as Hellboy.
Yeah.
Anybody else looking at him as still the Beast? Is anybody still doing that?
Oh, Vincent.
He was Vincent?
Yes.
Oh, I hate that show so much.
I love that show.
We share a bond deeper than love. Shut up! No, you don't.
Ow.
I'm going to bloom all over this episode.
You are. Hey, how dare you besmirch George R. R. Martin's writing?
Oh, my God. That show was bad.
Wonderful.
Fandom of one, Nutty. That is your fandom
of
one.
I am not alone.
I watched that on TV religiously.
Oh, my God.
Everybody loved it. Everybody
loved it. It was the best soap opera ever.
And when Dark Angel season 2, I think it was, not season, no, season 3, and we meet Joshua.
Oh, you're getting
everybody's like, oh my God, Joshua's totally a Vincent.
You're getting into Jen's territory, because I know Jen has, I think, the first 2 seasons of Dark Angel.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
All right, Jen, what's your idea of a...
Not alone.
Jen, what's your fandom of one that you're stuck in?
I don't know, actually.
I bet you I can guess.
What is it? Jason could probably tell you better than I could.
The live action Witchblade TV show.
Don't hate.
Live action Witchblade?
Yes. It had like, what, 6 episodes?
What, the comic strip drawn by Stefan Sepcik?
It had like 12 episodes.
It had a whole full season, man, and she didn't wear a Witchblade. She wore a suit of knight armor.
Yeah.
The comic Witchblade?
Yes.
The cop with the magic sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
why did they make a TV show of that, but I can't get a TV show of Sunstone?
Okay, first off, you're not getting a show about a lesbian BDSM couple. Not happening.
Why not? Sunstone's amazing. It's the best comic strip in the world.
I would watch that as an anime.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that or not, because their boobs would probably be the size of 2 planets.
No. But still have Shiny do the drawing.
Yeah.
Like, based on his drawings. So you've got realistic proportions, but animated in that art style, that would be beautiful.
So Jen, tell me about the Witchblade TV show.
Yes.
I haven't actually seen any of it since I was like a kid.
That's okay. Go on memory.
And I didn't know that it was any sort of anime or anything like that. Like, that was way before I was huge on anime at all.
Yeah, they also made an anime out of that thing too.
Yeah. But, No, I used to enjoy it. I used to enjoy the strong female character as a lead, you know, lead character. And like, I used to watch it literally religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Like after Price is Right, but still.
I love the fact that the 90s was a place where you could watch reruns of The Price is Right and then watch the live action Witchblade TV show. Yep.
The 90s were special. That was great.
Oh, Nutty, what have you got?
Well, before I go on, we got another one from Shane in the chat. Return to Oz, and I really dug that too. I don't think you're a fandom of one there.
Return to Oz, the TV movie?
Yeah, that is a baby for Urza Bulk.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
No, it was not. It wasn't. Atrocious.
Yeah, but I was like 8 when it came out.
I don't want to see it today, but my memories of it are awesome.
I will put it this way. I would watch Return to Oz 1,000 times before I watch either one of Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, I haven't watched those.
There's 2 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a sequel.
I liked the first one. I did not care as much for the second one.
And the really funny thing is the hat that the Clockwork Doctor uses is merch from the first Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's a Mad Hatter's hat that I deconstructed.
We picked it up at Claire's and I was like, hey, look, it fits my head. I'm sure I can make a costume out of this. And it was quickly appropriated by the Clockwork Doctor.
Because Nutty's head is large enough that it fit her, but it fits me with the mask on. So,
and your head is tiny enough that you needed a mask.
My head is perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm. So, and my head is perfectly normal, even though it's a gargantuan. So,
right there with you, it's fine.
My pick is I'm going to go with another strong female character driven role, although I got into it because of a male character. But it's the spinoff of Hercules. It is Xena the Warrior Princess, which
you're not in a fandom of one.
Yeah.
I adore her, and I've seen it recently, and it is just as bad and awesome as I remembered it to be. I was totally into I've seen every single Hercules. I saw the 7 movies they did before they did a TV show.
7 movies.
Yeah, they did 7 made for TV movies.
I remember when they were coming out on Showtime.
And then they did Hercules, and then they did Xena, and it was just getting better and better and better and better.
What was the third show in the arc?
It was
Joxer the Mighty.
No, he didn't have his own show.
No, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't Joxer the Mighty. It was the King of Thieves, the Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, but he didn't have his own show. They did they did use Bruce Campbell, and it was King of Thieves. He was like this con artist and working with a spy thing, and it was like kind of steampunky whatever, and it was horrible.
Is that Jack of All Trades?
Yes, I think that was it. Jack of All Trades. Yeah.
Ooh.
And that one did not do so well. They also tried Cleopatra 2525, which was Gina Torres.
Oh, Gina Torres, we love you.
Yes. Thank God for Firefly, right?
I know, right?
Redemption, that's what that was.
Xena, I adored everything about that whole thing. You know, Hercules and Xena, I'm going to put them both in there because I love them. I love them both, and I still do. And if we could somehow, and I know it wouldn't sell because it was never on a major network, right? So it was only on syndicated networks.
It was on Fox for me.
It was on WPIX for me, which was the same place that I was watching Star Trek.
It was Fox. This was my lineup in the 90s on Sundays, right? I'd get up super early, watch Samurai Pizza Cats, Dragon Ball Z, and then I'd watch Hercules and Xena back to back.
Nice.
You just killed my fandom of one because you are the only other person I have ever heard who knows what Samurai Pizza Cats
are. Everybody knows what Samurai Pizza Cats are.
The heroes who always wear fur.
By the way, Samurai Pizza Cats, streaming on Crunchyroll.
Ooh, there we go.
I'm watching it. It's amazing.
Are you?
I know. It's so good.
Okay.
You will be, if you do not do this task, you will be given a fate worse than death. What? Pushing the boulder of torment through the cave of evil? No, you will be cast as an extra in a B-rated horror film. Oh, God, no, don't do it.
I would be okay with them doing like a Xena reboot or more Xena Today, as long as they could somehow keep that camp and awesomeness in the right balance. Well, and I would love it, because it would mean that they wouldn't have to do subtext. They could be completely overt with their LGBTQ text and their polyamory text and everything else going on.
I think that's what killed it for me, because I remember watching a couple episodes of Xena as a teenager, as a teenage boy, you know, my eyes glued to the TV screen.
Waiting
going,
for them to kiss?
Just kiss already. Just kiss already. Well, and then it didn't happen, and I rage quit and watched something
else. If it helps, Tech, yeah. I was doing the same thing. I'm like, just you when? Know, when?
You know who created that atmosphere of camp, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Raimi.
And Rob Tapper, yeah. That's why Ted Raimi plays Joxer.
By the way, he's one of my favorite characters, because he's just a dope.
He's awesome, because he wants to be so much more than he could ever be. He is the lovable fool, and you can't help but love him.
Can we just say also that no matter what he does in the future, Kevin Sorbo will always be Hercules.
Yes, yes.
They even did that gag on Andromeda.
Yeah.
There was a scene where he had to go into one of the storage lockers on the ship and find a certain item, and he was going through pulling out of these, and he pulls out Hercules' sword. Everyone looks at him and goes, it's a long story, I'll tell you later.
That... Kevin Sorbo is such a romance novel, like, figure. Like, he belongs on the cover of.
Well, he's the American
novel.
Fabio.
Oh, he really is.
And that hair is immaculate, even now.
It's gorgeous hair. I wish I had that hair. So Shane wants us to know that he loved Cleopatra 2525.
Of course,
you
did.
Are.
Hi,
really
Shane.
In a fandom of one on that one, bro.
Does not surprise me.
All right, so I got one.
Go ahead.
And it's just around me, around in my social circles. I seem to be the only person who knows what Ghost in the Shell is. And I also seem to be the only person apprehensive about the new movie. Everybody else is like, oh, it's ScarJo, and she's doing like cool robot stuff, and she beats people up. It's going to be awesome. I'm like, I'm kind of looking forward to it, but it's not the Ghost in the Shell that I remember. And...
Well, see, I think I'm in that same category, but with like Akira, because when I was growing up, Akira was that thing, right? Like, as a staple of being an anime fan, like, you had to have seen Akira, right?
Absolutely.
Akira is like so intense and blah, blah, blah. So like, when I'm talking about, oh man, that animation, that opening sequence of the motorcycle chase, it has over 200 some thousand animation cells, and it's just so beautiful, holds up no matter what you do. And everybody's like, I love Naruto. I've got my headband on.
It's a guy on a motorcycle with a croquet mallet. I mean, or with a polo mallet. I mean, how good is that?
And he's dressed like a clown,
right? And then when they say that they're gonna remake Akira, live action, starring, I don't know, some white guy, and it's going to be set in New York, but it's going to be the same movie. Just instead of their unpronounceable Ching Chong names of Tetsuo and Canada, we're going to call them Teddy and Kenny.
Yeah, that was pretty horrible. I believe it was Robert Pattinson that was slated.
Oh.
I thought it was Keanu Reeves at one point.
And maybe. It went back and forth. George Takei made a big stink about it with a video, and it disappeared.
So I went
Thank
really,
you, Uncle George.
So I went really, really racist there, because the idea of whitewashing that movie is really, really racist. That's why
and
I did
horribly
it.
Offensive. Yeah, oh, dude. Like, well, I just, you know, you can't do that.
I think, you know,
yet
I think we
do.
Talked about this on your Nutty Bites whitewashing podcast.
Yes, I believe we did.
But there are, I'm pretty sure there's 1,000 Asian actresses who could have played the Major Makoto. That
there are dozens.
Absolutely.
I could have thought of some for you.
You know
As
what?
A matter of fact, there's one that even has the same look, and she's in The Force Awakens. We get just a glimpse of her. I hope we get to see her in another movie, but one of the X-Wing pilots has the perfect look for it.
Well, you know what it is? Major Studio House, if you have bought the rights from Masamune Shiro to do Ghost in the Shell, and you're listening to this podcast, because I know you do.
I know, you should.
And you have decided to cast some white European Scarlett Johansson thing in your movie, but because you don't really understand Japanese culture and you don't really think that you know what the major should be, I am here. I'm very cheap. You can pay me minimum wage fly me to Japan and let me find your actress. I will sacrifice this upon myself. I will take vacation days from work.
You'll take scale.
Absolutely. And you know what? I will need an assistant. I will need probably three assistants.
Well, first off, I'm going to just let you know, if I ever get to Japan, I'm not coming home.
Right. Well, so that's even cheaper for you, movie house. Movie house, look, you only got to buy three return in one way. That's cheap.
Look, current political atmosphere aside, I've always said, if I ever get to Japan, I'm probably not coming home. Like, it's just... They're going to be like, why is that black guy just sleeping in Akihabara? Like, is he living in that Gundam phone booth?
Yes.
He would do that.
His clothing seems to be made out of, like, merch and, I don't know, discarded wrappers?
Hockey bags?
They're like, and he's so big, we can't talk to him. He's like a giant here.
Like a giant there. Only there. Are you considered a giant? Okay.
Only there.
So my dad used to be posted to a unit in the Air Force that their job was to maintain Canadian embassies. So my dad would fly across the world fixing these embassies and going to the other side of the Iron Curtain. And every time he came home, his gift for me was a book. And it was always a book on airplanes because I love planes. And I would get these books by Bill Gunston, these huge 600-page books, beautifully illustrated, talking about the evolution of aircraft through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I devoured them entirely. I would rather read a Wikipedia entry on the evolution of the Junkers 87 Stuka over the latest new hot novel. I don't know. I find this stuff absolutely riveting and fascinating. And especially the two eras that really, really hook me is what they call Germany 1946. So this is all of the designs that Germany was building at the end of the war, when the war ended, because the designs that they were making, they were so off the wall. The thing is, they were so desperate for a weapon that would help them win that they went to their creative geniuses like the Horton brothers and said, hey man, what you got? You got to have something because we're losing. And in desperation comes beauty, and just the designs, the fail, the Horton 229. There's so many others. The ME-262 that actually saw light. The Heinkel. The Messerschmitt 163 Comet that was nothing but a giant bomb with wings, killed more pilots than it saved. The Natter, which was a rail launched point defense, basically was a battery of missiles with wings that would throw a pilot into the air. And if that's the one I remember, the engine of the plane had a better ejector seat than the pilot did because the engine was worth more than he was. I love this stuff, and I've got stories, and I could go on for hours, and I do. And then I realized that everybody's eyes are glazing over and they're all staring at their phones like Nutty is doing right now on her own podcast as I'm trying to explain why I'm so passionate about this. And even in my explanation of my passion, she's already looking at her bloody phone. This is what happens to me every time, and I am the only one. I go to an airplane museum. I go to the Canadian Aerospace Museum. I sit in the cockpit of a MiG-21 and the docent turns away from me and doesn't want to talk to me anymore because I know more about the plane I'm sitting in, the East German MiG-21 cockpit, than he does. I despise this, and I am so sad. I know, I'm sorry, I'm blooming. I am stuck here. I am stuck alone in my place where I belong. No one hears me sing this song.
I was looking up the description of the next thing that Shane wants us to talk about, but yeah.
Oh, God.
No, you were ignoring me because I was talking about planes again. Like the other day when I tried to show you the difference between a Junkers 87 and a Heinkel 111 and why the two of them being early war German designs are what I call ugly pretty, as opposed to the end of war German designs when they were just pretty, like the Horton 229 and the Fail.
But every time you say the Horton 229, I just think of an elephant.
It'd be so cool.
I know, right?
Little, with the little snuffle, but oh, no. Yeah. The Horton really 229 quickly. Has to be like the lead image for this show. It's just so pretty.
So if you are listening to this and you love planes, this guy wants to talk to you.
Absolutely.
But he's
been edging for hours to talk about planes.
No.
It's a need.
It is a need. He has a mighty need.
A mighty need. Yeah, Jay, yeah, this is a constant thing.
Hey, but I will say this, though, giving your own podcast a plug, when we get there, I cannot wait to see what he thinks of The Wind Rises.
Yes.
That's the movie about the creator of the Zero, right?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
I'm hashtag edging.
I enjoy the Cliff Notes version, or the Coles Notes for you Canadians versions of all of the cool stuff that tech learns, the detail and the Encyclopedia Technica is a little much for me.
Do they still make? But here's a question: do they still make Encyclopedia Britannica?
I think it's a website now.
They
or is
do
that just in libraries.
No,
now?
They still make them, but they do more on their web presence. And schools can buy subscriptions to Encyclopedia Britannica, and it's an awesome thing for schools to have.
It's probably really easier to update your intel, seeing as technology and stuff is changing.
Well, it's better in the sense that you constantly have new and fresh information, but there will always be schools that need it printed and don't have access to the internet, and that's where
the beauty of a site like Encyclopedia Britannica. If you like belong to their subscription service, or if you're using them as a reference, you can actually use it as a reference in a published work, yep. Not like Wikipedia, which we all use and use every day because it's just there and it's open. But because it's so open, you can't cite.
Yeah,
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But you can cite the Encyclopedia source. Britannica. It is a citable source.
Here's the thing that reminded me of. It's funny. The idea of the archaic encyclopedia coming into the new age has brought up the concept and idea of someone else who is technically has the desire and curiosity of someone from a time past where he was actually born in. But Elon Musk, can we talk about him? Can I just say,
are you a fandom of one of him? Is that what's going on?
I really, really, really get. Does anybody else get excited when he talks? Like
he's a Bond villain.
Like but
he's
amazing.
Using his powers for good
so far.
It's amazing. He wants to go to Mars, man.
I want to go to Mars. I will go, Mr. Musk. I will go tomorrow.
Get your beep to Mars. Get your beep to Mars.
Boobied women.
I am excited on all of the advances that we're getting, and I love the fact that science is being pushed not just by governments and nonprofits, but that like billionaires are spending money on this. I mean, the fact that James Cameron is working on how to mine in outer space is kind of insane. And
are we like fans of Four, like a fandom of Four for how awesome Elon Musk is in his
think we're the only ones, but yes, we're definitely fans. And but I still think we need to keep a close eye and not lose the fact that he is a Bond villain.
So you're saying there's going to be sharks with freaking lasers on their heads? And
I'm not sure he would do that to sharks. Maybe robots.
I expect a press conference one day where he's going to announce like the next Tesla, and he's going to be there stroking this like giant white cat the whole time.
I would pay him so much money, all the money I have, to do that just once. Like
instead, give all of that money to the Nutty Bites podcast.
Tech will make the announcement while stroking a rabbit.
I'll go get them if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tech, I've got 700-pound, actually, they're closer to 800 pounds now, pigs that you could try to wrestle.
How did we get to pig wrestling?
Okay. If there is an 800-pound pig, I'm not wrestling it. I am drawing an X between its eyes and its ears, and where the X crosses where the 22-round goes, and then I'm having bacon. and ham and pork chops. Yes, that is three awesome meats from one wonderful magical animal.
Magical animal.
Hey, yes. hopefully these magical animals are impregnated and will be making small bacon farms.
Yay, small bacon farms. Hooray, bacon farms.
Shane has another thing that he says he is a phantom of one of.
Yes.
And that is a small budget British film called Razorblade Smile. A 19th century woman who has become one of the undead acts as a hired killer in modern times. When she starts knocking off part of the elite businessmen, the Illuminati, who secretly are taking over businesses and the government, she becomes a target of a hired Scotland Yard detective. Of course, the head of the Illuminati is the vampire who first gave her immortality.
Oh my.
That sounds awful.
Train wreck, rolling dumpster fire.
We need to see this.
My cinematic
sadomasochism is edging all over the place to watch this.
Because, of course, you've seen Jesus Christ Vampire Slayer, right?
We need to find this streaming and host a viewing party.
I don't know if I can get that angry for that long. When I heard Razorblade Smile, the first thing I thought of was, what, is this a British remake of Itchy the Killer?
Oh, no. When I heard Razorblade Smile, I thought this was going to be like the British version of Kids.
Oh, no one needs to make that movie again.
So, moving on, I've got something also British.
Okay. British.
And not exactly vampire, but more, dealing with supernatural, dealing with angels and weird stuff in Nephilim. I don't know. He might know what I'm talking about. What do you think I'm talking about, Jason?
You wouldn't happen to be talking about, was it Almost Human or something?
No. Being Human or something? Yeah, Being Human. That's another one. That's awesome. I am not a Phantom of One because everybody loves that show. No, I am talking, and this also has strong female characters and more than subtext. I'm talking about the TV show Hex.
Oh!
And Tech, you'll remember
that. Is that Cherry Knickers?
That is Funny Knickers, yes. And I love Hex. It was recommended to me by Nick Edwards of The Signal years and years ago.
Hi, Nick.
And when...
Other Nick,
yes. Hi, Nick. Look up from your immunizations. Hi. Yes, we're talking about you. I fell in love with it right away. It was fantastic. I found all of the episodes on YouTube, so it was very easy to watch. But basically, it starts out where this girl has been chosen to be like the mate of some angel because he wants to make Nephilim and bring hell on earth and all of this craziness. Wait.
You mean he wants to enact the Diablo rule? I am so down with this alien. This angel alien thing. He needs to make it happen so I can make a monk and we can get some loot going. We can get some loot going.
Exactly. And there's so much awesomeness in this and the acting is great. And I totally fell in love with her best friend and have watched her do a bunch of other things just because she's amazing.
To everyone whose eyes have glazed over at this point. As a casual bystander to Hex, I will tell you that this has by far the best appropriate for TV lesbian love scene I have ever seen. It is hot. It is unbelievably well. And then it ends. It ends on a punchline and it goes to a joke and a sad trombone womp womp. But you know what? It is so good.
By the way, Shane agrees with me. He says that he loves Hex.
I'm pretty sure I'm not a fan of one because all the fans of this show are young teenage girls who love hot older teenagers. So maybe I'm the fan of one as in the male side of this equation. But MTV's Teen Wolf, that is my guilty
fun. Yes, that is fun. Definitely the... you are the fandom of one over 30, sure.
Dude, it's... Wait, they made more
after the movie?
It's a new like steamy CW style teen drama.
Does it have a dude's wang in the background like the movie did?
Oh, I don't remember that.
No, it's in there. Totally, look it up.
Okay.
There's an extra that got mad and like dropped Trow. And if you look in one of the scenes in the stadium, he's got like his wang out.
Yeah, it's at the end of the movie. It's just like that weird little kid in Back to the Future, the third one, where he's like pointing to his crotch in the scene at the train.
Really?
Yeah, no joke. He's like straight up pointing to it. You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, when Doc like points to his two kids, Jules and Vern.
Yeah, at the end of the the very end of that movie.
Yeah,
this kid's like totally pointing at his junk.
Yeah, but he's like probably not doing it on purpose. I'm sure he's just a kid awkward.
Oh no, no, no! It's like a definite thing. The rumor is they think that he's trying to tell someone off screen that he has to go to the bathroom.
Aw, poor kid.
Child abuse on set.
Oh, that poor kid.
No, you're gonna do 83 more takes, and you're gonna like it.
What is this? Is this a Stanley Kubrick movie? Like,
I think Jen was about to say something.
No, I said that was sad.
Oh, so Jen, do you have anything that you are a Phantom of One? Or
so I know I'm a Phantom of One on this, but that Adam Sandler movie, Little Nicky.
Yeah, you're a Phantom of One.
I love that movie.
You are. Oh Lord,
it's such a bad movie, but I literally have like every single like line to that movie memorized.
Hold She's on. Bought it, I think, like 8 times.
Three times.
Playing Boston, plays it backwards. I command you to spill the blood of the innocent. Oh, my God, Boston's Chicago. Awesome.
It was Chicago.
Same band.
Yeah.
No.
Well, listen here, bro. Don't you confuse Chicago with Boston, bro. I'm Mark Wahlberg.
You're making Boston, me sick. Stop bro. That now.
Hey, I did that movie Pain and Gain by Michael Bay, bro. He got me into those Transformers movies.
Stop.
I'm an action
You should
star.
Feel bad.
So, they've done a movie.
Happening? I'm a science teacher, bro.
They've done a movie, and apparently it's like the greatest cinematic masterpiece ever, and I am forced to care because it's all over the place. They did a movie about the Boston Marathon.
Not interested.
And Sokar Tsarnaev and all of it, and of course it's stars Mark Wahlberg, who's in it. Of course he is.
Hey, you want to go to Wahlburgers, bro? I get you a burger, bro.
Hey,
the Super Bowl's tomorrow, bro. We're going to watch the game and have some brews. It'll be great. You all know you watch Entourage. That's about my life, bro. That's about me. Donnie's my brother. Haven't you seen that movie where he played an alien with cancer, bro?
Cancer.
It was a Stephen King flick. It was a Stephen King flick called Dreamcatcher.
All right, stop. Just stop. This is so painful.
I love the idea of the Virginian doing the Boston accent and completely train wrecking it.
This is so wrong.
I can't stand Mark Wahlberg.
Like, Nobody likes Mark Wahlberg.
Nobody likes. If you are a fandom of one of Mark Wahlberg, please come on this podcast.
If you are a fandom of Mark Wahlberg, press one now.
We have two viewers or zero viewers.
The fact that he, like, don't get me wrong.
We got one at least.
I think he's great in Pain and Gain, but The Rock steals that movie.
The Rock steals every movie. The Rock is amazing.
Is so beautiful. I mean, he just.
His smile.
Raises his eyebrow.
If there was a war going on, The Rock could walk in between the two sides and smile, and it would cease.
Am I the only one that whenever The Rock smiles, I hear a ding?
Exactly.
No, it's there. It really is there.
It actually happens.
I'm going through my list of things that I am a fan of that nobody else seems to be, and I'm starting to realize that there is a definite common thread.
Mm.
Is it Mark Wahlberg?
No, it's angsty lesbians.
Angsty lesbians.
I am a huge fan of angsty lesbian movies.
Are you sure that's not a garbage
Firefox.
I have a good story for this.
Which one? Firefox?
Yes.
Okay, so Firefox and But I'm a Cheerleader and
But I'm a Cheerleader is really good.
Gia.
Gia also really good.
They're all really good movies, but angsty lesbian movies.
Right. So Firefox, I will tell this story.
We got to wait for Jason to shut up.
Right. So Firefox, we're watching this. Not all of these had Angelina Jolie.
No, not all of them did. Right.
No, but two of the three did.
Yeah.
So Firefox. I'm watching this movie. Nutty needed to introduce this movie to me because this was one of the defining moments of her teenage life and is one of those amazing movies that Irma Gerd, you need to see this.
Irma Gerd.
Ermagerd. So I'm watching this movie, and we're three quarters of the way through. They're around the campfire. They're yelling about the one Asian girl's dad and all the horrible things she has to go through with the stepdad. And I look at Nutty and just, so do they actually make out at any point in this movie? Like, what are we building to? And she goes, well, they build to nothing because no, they don't. Why am I wasting my time? It was like the first half. It was like the first half of a really good lesbian flick that never went anywhere.
The emotions were there. They made out emotionally, okay?
All I can say is, like, if you change that around, it made you a NASCAR beer-swilling southerner, like, that'd be the moment you threw your Coors Light at the TV.
What the hell? Why ain't these two pretty girls kissing? I don't get it.
Awesome. And the question that we ask our friends after they see it is, which of the girls does it for you? Like who is it? Who's the girl that you're just mesmerized by and you would totally want to date? And the funny thing for me was the one that I picked, my best friend, she's like, oh God, no. And then a couple of years later, she's like, so I'm seeing this girl and she kind of looks like Goldie.
So I have one for you.
Yeah,
which is my counterpoint to that movie, because as much estrogen as there is in that one, there is so much testosterone in one of my absolute favorite movies. It was this little B flick. It was about giant robots fighting each other done in stop motion called Robot Jocks.
Robot. Sorry.
I'm
not edging anymore, people. Oh, Robot Jocks.
I love this movie and the sequel. I love this movie so much.
If you're 13 years old and you're listening to this, please don't Google to find out what Jason's talking about, okay?
When I watch this movie and I try to show it to anyone of any age, they're like, this is stop motion. Was this made in the 60s? No, this was made in the 90s, and it's actually really good, but it looks like crap. No, it looks like awesome is what it looks like.
I'll tell you, they're probably like, hey, did Burl Ives narrate this? Like, is the Miser Brothers showing up some point?
Is this a fandom of two? Like, do you really legitimately love this movie?
Oh, I love Robot Jocks. It was the predecessor to Pacific Rim. Oh, God.
I would rather see the next Robot Jocks than the next Pacific Rim.
Oh, I think the next Pacific Rim is going to be dog crap in a basket. But it's going to have Idris Elba in it, so I can't.
And he is awesome. But I saw the trailer today for the new King Kong.
The robots look cool in Robot Jocks.
They look amazing.
Yep.
I saw the trailer today for the new King Kong.
It was all good until I saw that guy who played alongside Will Ferrell in Step Brothers.
Oh, John C. Reilly?
Yeah, it was all good until I saw him. Because don't get me wrong, you got John Goodman being a villain in that movie. Yeah.
John C. Reilly is a really good actor. Give him a chance.
Let me sell it for you.
Only one movie that I like that he's in. It's where he plays Mr. Cellophane.
He's so good. He is so good as Mr. Cellophane. I can't believe you said that.
Jay, can I sell King Kong for you?
It's got giant King Kong. You know what this means? If this movie hits, we can salvage a Godzilla versus King Kong.
No. Not only if we can sell it, it's already happened. It's already done. With the Godzilla movie that came out in 2014, the American one with the most beautiful Godzilla screen of all time.
That was good.
There is Godzilla v. Kong coming to our screens next year, 2018.
I'm telling you, right now, Jin can confirm this. When we watched that movie in theaters, I nearly stood up and applauded.
For the scream?
When he breathed fire.
Wasn't it great? Oh, when the spinities started glowing and he did the radioactive breath, wasn't that? Fandom of two kaiju movies.
I don't think Tech's edging anymore.
No, it is done. Glaven. So, Shin Godzilla, have you seen it?
I need to see it. I heard it's really, really good.
Okay, we need to see it and do a thing.
I heard it's different though because it focuses on the people side of things, like having to deal with
the like all the original Godzilla movies did.
I would also like to say though, my only problem with that Godzilla movie from was it 2014? Mm-hmm. They lied to me.
Did they?
They told me it was going to be Godzilla versus Walter White, and it was not. Matter of fact, it became Godzilla versus
Ken Watanabe.
No, versus Kick-Ass. Because the kid who played his son.
That's a curse.
No, but that is not a curse because that is the name of a movie. That is a published name.
Thank you very much. And ours is not a curse. Thank you very much. Mm. That you can have that in a PG-13 movie and not get an upgrade. Thank you very much.
It's PG, not PG-13.
Thank you, MPAA, you and your craptastic. Watch the movie. Watch the documentary. This film is not yet rated.
We've seen it. Anyway.
I hate the NBA. But no. Yeah, seriously. Bryan Cranston only in the movie for like 2 seconds. I was very upset.
So following up the rock jocks, Shane.
Robot jocks.
Robot jocks. Sorry. Whatever. Robot jocks. That's what I meant.
Rock jocks was an actual sports thing that MTV did back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I loved it.
No, he says he's a fan of, where is it?
Scroll, scroll, scroll.
No, it's right there. Oh, there it is. Terrorhawks, which is there a he says.
In the chat? I can't see the chat. So.
Yeah, well, you'd have to go to the actual YouTube page to get to the chat.
Quickie time.
So, Terrorhawks, think Stingray or Thunderbirds, just a British version of it or another version of it. And
I thought Thunderbirds was already British.
I don't know. I'm just reading the thing.
Thunderbirds was amazing. The Thunderbirds are go.
Well, apparently Terrorhawks is kind of like it. So,
and Team America, what a wonderful, wonderful parody of the Thunderbirds.
So another thing that I'm gonna have to throw out there, and it's not so much that I think I'm a phantom of one, but I'm definitely a phantom of one in this household because some people have no sense of humor. And that is late 80s, early 90s Steve Martin movies before he got really, really bad when he was still funny. No. You know, like My Blue Heaven.
No.
Oh, Roxanne. Roxanne.
Roxanne is so good.
I found a copy of that on DVD. I bought it immediately.
Should totally watch that. Tech, you haven't seen that one yet, so you haven't said it's bad yet.
My Blue Heaven was horrible.
But Roxanne is Cyrano done in the 80s.
Oh, with Steve Martin.
Yes. Say again, Fred. What's your name? Jason?
Father of the Bride.
Yeah, Father of the Bride's not bad.
That was good.
That one's not bad. It's not one of my favorite.
And I'll be honest, his version of the Pink Panther, he is the only guy other than Peter Sellers that could have possibly pulled it off. It was inspired casting, and he is a comedic genius. And his version, I want to buy the burger.
The burger.
The burger.
It's nowhere near as good as Peter Sellers, and we're not saying that.
No, I'm not, but Dumbert's fur. I loved that movie. I thought it was a very well done, but you will find no bigger Peter Sellers fan than myself right here. But... My Blue Heaven and all of those other ones.
See, we need to all get together and find out where Steve Martin is doing his.
Isn't The Jerk another one of the ones that you just
Jerk is awesome.
Rolling dumpster fire.
The Three Amigos. That's another really good one.
Whoa. Three Amigos is a classic comedy. Mm-hmm. But The Jerk with your boy John Zombo. Needs to get rolled up. Well, actually, let me rephrase this. Get it crushed up, then rolled up, and smoked by the devil on a comet into the next dimension. That movie is garbage.
See, I couldn't tell if you were saying that this needed to happen because it was so good or if it was so bad, but I
thought he was
going to
cast Idris Elba in the remake. I didn't know what was going on with that.
I could never think of Idris Elba as a jerk. I'm sorry. Like, I saw that movie No Good Deed where he's supposed to be playing this crazy killer, and I'm just like, I know Traji Peterson. I know you want to let him in your house because he's gorgeous and he's actually in a rainstorm, so he's a wet, gorgeous Idris Elba, but he's supposed to be a serial killer. I know that at some point you probably would just give in and let him murder you because it'd be the most poetically beautiful death ever, but he's still a killer in this movie. Like, it's so bad. You can't cast someone like Idris Elba. It's like trying to cast The Rock as a serial killer. Like, you would just let him kill you. Like, it's like he'd smile at you and you die.
But you know what? They've done this before, where they take a comedic actor that we all absolutely love for his portrayals and then make him a serial killer, and it ends up being not a bad movie. I give you Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo.
That is a scary, creepy movie,
dude. That when he's got them in the room and he's doing the photo shoot,
it's all pretend.
And he has the knife and he just tells, he's directing them. Oh my god, it's bone chilling.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it's all pretend. It actually trended, and there's like a meme about just being absolutely horrible to someone with just, it's all pretend.
But dude, I really will say this though, back on Steve Martin. I really like Steve Martin. And Steve Martin, which is why I like Roxanne, is because when I was a kid, my mom used to show me all of the old like Steve Martin and Leslie Nielsen movies. Naked Gun will always have a place in my heart.
Love it.
Oh my god. See, OJ Simpson before he was crazy and a killer.
Yeah.
Naked Gun, I never got, but to me, in that same spoofy genre, I was a big fan of the Hot Shots movies.
Oh, yeah.
Pardieu.
I'm French. I don't get that joke. I don't see why that's funny. That's just pardieu.
Pardieu.
That deux is just, it's just a noise we make. D-E-U-X, deux. It's just, it's a noise. It's not that stupid, but the rest of you, oh, it's pardieu. Oh, those French people sound so funny. Hold my Coors Light while I press rewind on my VHS. Wow.
So I've got another one that I'm going to say. I am a fandom of one, although technically this comes as fandom of two.
Mm.
Because Ross and I used to watch these on our lunch breaks when we were going to school. Sinbad stand up. Robin Williams stand up. All the old stand up. But Sinbad stand up. Really good.
No, he was really good.
Man, when brothers go to the mall, they be like,
yeah, pretty much.
when George Clinton was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they had Sinbad do the induction speech where he talked about, it was the whole thing about the word funky, about how funky is one of those really weird words that could mean good and bad at the same time. It's like, wow, you smell funky, or wow, look at the dress she's wearing. That is funky.
Or take the same statement though. Yeah. Look at that dress she's wearing. Oh, that is funky. Or look at that dress she's wearing. Yeah, that is funky.
Exactly.
That's the problem with that era and time. The words, not only, like, they were just, there was, you couldn't define them. Like, if someone was trying to learn English in that era and time,
that's
like
the same thing today. Are you kidding me?
You know
me?
I'm bad. You know it. I know you're bad at this era. You were so much better with your brothers in that other band. That was so much better. Go back to that and stop doing what you're doing now.
Thriller, and Thriller, and more Thriller. I could watch it. By the way, I feel
Vincent
like all
Price.
All movies should end with secret cat eyes.
Okay, so we're going to do a lightning round, all right? Rapid fire lightning round. Tech, go.
Liver.
Ooh, very good.
Nobody else likes beef liver but me.
This is true.
I like liver.
Absolutely.
With onions or bacon?
Onions.
Bacon.
There you go.
We can share. Yeah. Next.
I'll go with lamb. Other than, and I know I'm not a fandom of one because Tech loves it too.
Fandom of
but
two.
But apparently a bunch of people are like, ew, lamb? You people are insane. Lamb is delicious.
I will eat a lamb raw. You give me a tender baby lamb, I'll rip its throat out with my teeth.
Challenge accepted.
I made lamb for second Christmas.
Oh, delicious.
I love
it. The lamb recipe is delicious. The Tomorrow People.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
And I'm not talking about the Brit. I'm not talking about the British one. I'm talking about the Australian one made for Nickelodeon.
All right. Jen.
Jalapeno jelly.
Yep. I was sent some. I brought it to a party.
It's amazing.
That's what we ate it with. It was actually really good with cheese and crackers. Yep. But yeah, so Tech.
Disco.
Yeah.
You know what? Me and Mark Watney both think you should burn an entire fire.
No, because you know what? as great as Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Bee Gees and all of those other great bands of the era was, there was a modern band through the 90s, 2000s, and even into the 2010s is still going strong. My boy JK and Jamiroquai, that is the sound of my life.
But that's because he's got funk mixed in there too.
He's that, funky.
That is, if that you is add the sound funk disco. To disco, it works. Kind of like, I don't like blue cheese dressing, but if it's with buffalo wings, it's delicious. font humor and puns. And the only one that seems to like it.
Oh, I'm with you in puns. I love them.
You can learn a lot from them.
Oh. Nutty, no. No. Nutty, no. Incorrect.
Oh, I swear to God, he almost spit took when he heard that.
Hey, does it? That was a great joke. But does anyone watching? Hey, Shane, I am gonna wait to do this joke until I see a response from Shane. Shane, would you like to see Nutty make a complete rage quit face? Watch Nutty get mad.
No.
With something about font humor.
I don't think money can get mad, but I bet it has to do with Comic Sans, though.
Yeah, Comic Sans is the greatest font ever and can be used in proper context. I think that there is some redeemable value to Comic Sans.
I have said that as well. There is very few occasions, but even then when it is a good use for it, there are better fonts.
Now, something that we've talked a lot about is making a that what we need in our emails is a sarcasm font.
Yes.
That people know that you're instantly being sarcastic. So that tone
Comic
can
Sans
be...
Comic Sans would work
Comic
for that.
Comic Sans. I think Comic Sans is the perfect sarcasm font.
That'd be italics.
Shane wants to see me make a rage quit face, but I haven't made one yet.
Okay. Comic Sans is the best font ever, and Times New Roman should be replaced with Comic Sans.
Okay, well, Times New Roman is horrible, too, because it's completely unreadable, and it's so tiny, and the spacing is horrible, but
Helvetica should be replaced with Comic Sans.
No, that's horrible. You can't even say those things. I mean, come on. It's just...
How
do you even form those words in your mouth? Like, I don't think mine could physically do that.
I need to get the shirt that has Helvetica written in the Metallica font with the drops on each end.
No, it should be in the Helvetica font, but drops.
It should be Helvetica written in Comic Sans.
No.
Oh, yeah. I get murdered.
I would actually see it.
I would stick Rory on that shirt, and it would get chewed apart like your Thundercats one did.
No, it wasn't
intentionally. This is what happens when you leave a dragon alone, and you have to be careful. Sometimes he might chew through a Thundercats shirt.
First off, you want to talk about getting your children into bestiality. Thundercats is how you do it.
Yeah, but Chitara, though.
So, That's what I'm saying. Stop. We're still in rapid fire round, and we totally got off track.
Right.
Jen, one of you.
You got one, Jen?
I don't have one.
You're out?
Yeah.
All righty. Lightning round. Ghostbusters 2 is a good movie.
Ditto.
Vigo of Carpathia.
I really like that movie. I don't know. Maybe it's because I saw it at a young age, but God, I love that Ghostbusters.
You know what was really funny? Awesome. At the time that I saw that movie, I was going to Carpathia Middle School or Carpathia Elementary School.
That's really funny.
So when it was Vigo of Carpathia, I'm like, no, it's Carpathia, and I know that school.
I sit on a throne of blood.
The funny thing is that
Is that Miss Wilson's classroom?
There was a ship named the Carpathia. Mm-hmm. It was the first ship to respond to the SOS of the Titanic.
Yes,
and
it
they
was.
Saved a whole bunch of lives, which is what my elementary school was named for, was for that ship that saved all those lives. Well, and not Ghostbusters 2, which would have made it an even better name reason to name a school. We named this school Carpathia because Vigo is awesome.
Vigo is awesome. I love Ghostbusters too, and I think that also fits into that like whole genre of comedy that people tell me I should not like, but I do. And I'm also going to throw out there, I love angsty teen dramas. Not all of them. Some of them I just can't stand, but you know what? I'm digging Archie. I have only seen one episode, and so far it's more CW than anything else. Or Riverdale, sorry. It's more CW than anything else, but I'm digging it.
It's the CW show to end all CW shows.
CW's doing a live-action version of Archie?
Yeah, Riverdale. It's on Netflix.
As a teenage murder mystery.
Please, please, if there is a divinity that created humanity, please let it end with the death of Archie, but it has to be in the Archie versus Predator crossover.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but you never know. I mean, it's pretty progressive.
So the first
Archie versus Predator is great.
So the episode one does have a Betty Veronica kiss.
Yes, it does.
Which is very, very nice because it does really feel legit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Miss Grundy Archie love arc, and they made Miss Grundy hot.
I'm going to put it to you this way. If that show ends with Veronica and Betty and Archie having a polyamorous relationship and being happy together, I will kiss the CW.
What are you talking about? End with, this is where I think it's going, and I really hope that it happens. It's starting that way.
Archie took the two of them to a dance.
This is how a lot of people felt the Archie comic should have went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. They did a multiverse where he chose one or the other, and so there's two separate universes, and then there's also one where he chose both, of course, and then there's also one where he died and they got into a monogamous relationship with one another. And
I like that. Died, that's where the TV show could go.
He died saving his homosexual friend, his best friend.
Kevin.
Yeah.
I love Kevin. Kevin's in the show. I love it. Kevin's in the show, and Moose is a closet case.
You need to read Death of Archie. It is one of the most gut-wrenching, amazing comics ever. And I'm a guy who used to think, oh, Archie's whatever. And I'm like, wait, Archie came out when? He's a what? With who? Holy crap,
and
why wasn't I reading?
Archie comics has been at the forefront of all of the big changes in comics. They were like one of the first to go digital, and they didn't charge more for digital than paper, and were giving discounts and stuff like that before all the others were doing it.
Except for me, Stan Lee, I'll rob you blind.
Exactly. Whereas Archie will be in your grocery store. All right, so we totally got off the rails. Anything we need to say before we go?
Right, one more.
One more.
It's 3-1.
Yeah.
Kantai Collection, Strike Witches, Girls and Panzer. It is the same. It's the same crew doing the same thing three times over, but it's girls in boats, girls in planes, girls in tanks. And I'm the only person alive in North America that goes, yes, give me more, please.
Yes, I saw that and gave Tech a volume of one of them in the manga.
Thank you.
I condone his interest, quote unquote.
Hashtag edging.
All right, so oh Lord, hate you all. Don't Google it, kids. Don't Google it.
Don't Google it.
Never Google anything we talk about.
Totally Google it.
Don't Google it.
Hashtag totally.
So Jason and Jen, where can people find you on the internet?
You want to give it a try, Jen, or should I do
it? Nope. It's been too long.
Okay, guys. You can always find us on our website at talknerdytomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdytome. And, of course, you can find us on the Twitter at nerdytomepodcast.
And that's all. The twos are the number two.
The number two.
The numeral two.
I thought I was being unique, and obviously I was.
You're not.
Actually, although surprisingly, not many people have the number two. It's just that I'm in the middle of the pack on iTunes. Rate us, people. I need ratings. I want to be the first.
The neat thing is, though, it does mean that you get to get a lot of swag that has nothing to do with you, because lots of people use that phrase.
I know. Like, there was bags in Books a Million that said Talk Nerdy to Me on it, and I was like, yeah!
I got a sock monkey that says Talk Nerdy to Me.
Exactly.
He's
and we
mascot.
Took pictures with
He's
that guy.
Mascot.
Yeah. So,
Roy and a monogamous relationship.
Is there anything else you two want, either of you two want to plug? Anything else personal?
The Fisherman's Wife 2, The Retentacling.
Oh, boy. Go away.
Wow, that came out of nowhere. Not really. Just, I know that anyone who actually listens to our podcast, I know we've been quiet, and that is my fault because I've been working my brains out and doing a two-hour commute. But We do have a commentary track for the Attack on Titan live action movie coming out. I've also got interviews, and also I'm going to be getting Big Bear's Den started back up, my blog, as a podcast, and I will get Jen to do the intro to our podcast if it kills me.
The very last episode we ever do.
Oh, no. Jen, never do it then. Tech, is there anything you want to plug?
You know where to find me, nimlast.org, and you can read all of my adventures in trying to learn Aikido the hard way at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com.
I will get soon to be podcast it if I have to cut off my own leg.
And in recent Aikido news, in front of me in the red sweater is the world's newest fourth Q in Yoshinkan Aikido. Everyone give a congratulations to Nutty for passing Yay! Her fourth Q test.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
That's what my job is.
You can get all the ways that you can send in your thoughts and tell us what are you a fandom of one of. Listen to that at the end. And as always, listen to for the bloopers. Bye.
Bye.
There's going to be a lot of bloopers, people.
I'm Jen, and this is Jason.
And you should be listening to the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. That was a promo.
Promo? You didn't even tell them they could find us on Facebook.
Where? You mean at facebook.com/nerdytome?
Yes, and what about their website?
TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com?
Yes, but you didn't tell them.
Oh, TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com?
Exactly. That would be a promo.
Luckily, I was recording.
Were you? Aww.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlast.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.
What's your topic for Nutty Bites, by the way?
I don't know. He hasn't told us yet.
I haven't told anyone yet.
Oh, so this is a surprise, like, tech?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tech? Oh, man.
Oh, hold on one second.
Oh, are you going to get your sound effect?
My sound effect?
Oh, no. Wait, I don't know.
No, I was going to... No.
Like they said, yeah, we do want you to buy pre-owned. But when it comes to pre-owned, right, you get 7 days. You can play the game for 7 days. On the 7th day, if you don't like it, you can bring it back with a receipt and get all your money back. No harm, no foul. We have people who do that every week. I'm talking about they will come get a game, play it for the weekend, and bring it back and get another one.
You've turned into Blockbuster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the Blockbuster rule.
Yep. Except it's free.
Exactly. If you don't bring it back within 7 days, if it's after 7, all we can do is trade it in for store credit, or we swap it out for the same game, you know, just say if it was scratched or defective or something. But if it's a new game, right, we tell you, if it's a new game, you can only bring it back within 7 days with a receipt, and it has to be unopened. After 7 days, all I can do is trade it in or swap it out for the same game if it was defective for some reason.
Right.
That's why we tell you to get pre-owned. Because guess what? That turned us into Blockbuster.
What kind of drone surveillance net, submarine, periscope, binoculars are you
expletive deleted
using so that when I'm not looking for anything, 64 of you will line up down the aisle. Can I help you today? 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 Or when I have two products in my hand and I'm actually trying to decide between two of them and I actually need some
expletive deleted
help, all of you have gone to Antarctica to, I don't know, raise penguins because I can't find one of you in the store. Why does that happen every time?
That hurt.
See, I love being a nerd because when I go to places like Best Buy and they're like, do you need help? Nope. Like, immediately, nope.
Nope. Nope.
Like, nope. And so I understand when I get that response at work, they don't need my help. So I let them be. And when they start getting that bewildered, like deer in the headlights look at a wall of PlayStation games, I snicker to myself and then go, do you need some help finding something?
All right.
It fills me with so much joy, except for when they send their 80-some, 90-some-year-old grandpa in to get something for an Xbox, and he's looking at me like, I just want to shoot myself in the face. Please help, sir. And I'm like, these little dirty nerd bastards need to come in here and get their own.
Expletive deleted.
Jen just made the sound of the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
I heard it. That's your
time. Oh, no. It's been so long. I froze up. Oh, no.
So our friends over at the Talk Dirty
To Me. He still hasn't done it.
Our friends at the Talk Dirty To Me podcast, and they are.
So, Tech, what's another thing that you are a fandom of one?
So much. Are we going to stick specifically to geek culture, or can we expand?
Sure.
A couple other things. Really quick ones. Rapid fire round.
Well, we're going to do that at the end.
Okay.
But I know one for you. Okay. If you're having trouble.
Go ahead.
Planes.
I am a plane nerd. I have spent my entire life.
Hang on. Jen's cat needs to stop nosing up to the microphone.
Hello, kitty.
There we go.
Attacked, Jen?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, go ahead, Tech. Right. Planes.